Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Our series is entitled Peace of God. And we're finding in Scripture that it's God's will, God's plan that you and I live with peace. Turmoil, anxiety, stress, worry, not God's plan, right? In fact, you could say it's sin. I knew I wasn't going to get one amen on that line right there. But it's an interesting thought in Scripture. Trusting God is a sign of faith, right? And the Scripture said, Isaiah 26 and verse 3, I will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on me because you trust in me. Okay, so when we trust God, we keep our mind with him, on him, we live at perfect peace. But the Scripture also said, whatever is not of faith is sin. So fear, worry, anxiety is actually when we're not trusting God. We're not in faith, and we actually could look at it as sin. So we need to decide. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm not going to live in stress, worry, anxiety, frustration, all the negative emotions that are common in this world. And you know, the world normalizes sin. So when I was a kid, youngster, 100 years ago, I didn't know one friend in school with a divorced parent. I had none. I remember in junior high, I heard about one of my friend's parents divorcing. I was shocked. I didn't know that happened. I'm like, really? How does that happen? Well, a couple of years later, my parents divorced. And then years go by. It's normalized. It's common. We accept it. It happens. When you normalize sin, you allow it. You open the door for it, and you accept it. When I was a kid, I never had one friend who didn't know their sexual identity. There were no furries in my class. There were no gay people or transgender people, nobody in my class. I never went into the locker rooms for basketball practice and I wonder why the girl is here. Or if I was a girl, I never wondered why the boy is in here. But then years go by, right? And it becomes part of a TV show. It becomes part of social media conversation. It becomes, I can't believe you don't accept me. How evil are you? You are the bad guy. And so we normalize things. We accept it and make it part of our culture. And get to the point where if you disagree with this perspective, you are bad. You need to be canceled. In fact, you should die. So this is the way culture moves, the world moves. Right now we're in a time when anxiety and stress and worry is normalized. And when you share your anxieties and tell people you're taking drugs to try to deal with pressure and problems and stress and the stuff in everybody celebrates you. That's amazing. It's so cool that you have anxiety. It's so cool that you share all of your problems. However, you don't get better, but everybody thinks you're cool. I would offer to you, it's not normal, that it's a perversion in people's lives, that it creates pain, breakdowns in relationships, sickness and disease and other problems, and that you and I should decide, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to have peace in my life. I'm going to be at peace. So it's your decision. It's up to you. Really, I can't do it for you. But let's look at the Bible and let's ask ourselves, what should be normal for me as a Christian? Not what is normal on social media. Not what is normal in the media or in the world. What's normal for me as a Christian? Are you with me? Okay, I got enough scriptures to convince you today. I started with Isaiah 26:3. I will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on me because you trust in me. This is one of my scripture cards in the Peace of Mind series, and I've told you about them before, but I keep these cards with me, and they're just scripture. But it helps me keep my mind right with God. I think you'll see today through several scriptures that anxiety and stress is when your mind is in the wrong place. When Caleb was young, he put his hand on a glass fireplace that was really hot, and it burned all of his fingers and all of his palm. And he just cried and cried and was sitting on Wendy's. Can you imagine Caleb? He's 40 now, but when he was like 6 or 7, he just cried on Wendy's lap and finally went to sleep. And when he woke up, he didn't cry anymore. I guess it didn't hurt anymore, but he was burned on all of his fingers. And so it affected him. You could see him trying to figure out what had happened as the days went by. And then I had a friend around that same time. I was asking about this problem we were having in church, and I'm, you know, worrying about this and I'm stressing about that. And he said, bro, do not touch it with your mind. And I thought about Caleb, who touched that fireplace, and the burn and the pain lasted for a while, but the remnants, the effect, the loss of his feel lasted for weeks. And I've always thought there's some things when you touch it with your mind, you get burned and it lasts. It stays with you, right? So where you put your mind can decide whether you get burned with the anxieties and the stresses and the worries, or you stay at peace. So I keep these little cards, these scripture cards, and I have 5 of them on peace of mind. And I just remind myself, don't touch those things with your mind. All right, look at another scripture with me in Matthew chapter 6. When we trust God, we live in peace. A world without God is a world without peace. Matthew 6 and verse 31, do not worry. Right, the fact that Jesus made that statement, he's saying to you, this is your choice. It's possible to not worry. You just have to decide. I'm not gonna worry about that. I'm gonna trust God. I'm gonna believe God is working and God will help me, and I'm not gonna worry about it. It's a decision that you make. And for some of you, it's a very difficult decision because you've always equated worry with caring, right? So your attitude is, well, if I don't worry, who will? And of course, the question would be then, what if nobody worries? We would all be better. We would all do better work and have better economy and have better health. And wow, we would solve a lot of problems if we could get everybody to obey Jesus when he said, do not worry. Well, I know some of you, well, it's easy for you to say, but you don't know what I'm going through. I get it. I understand. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's in the scripture. Your Lord Jesus, the one you worship, the one you call God, the Word made flesh, says, do not worry. Right? And especially, don't worry about things way beyond your power to control, like what other people think, like the climate, the ozone. You freaking don't even know what an ozone is, and you are worried about it. Sorry, I lost my cool there for a minute. Matthew 6, verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Remember in Romans 14, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Seek first the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. A world without God is a world of fear and worry and anxiety. Man, I did things as a kid that parents today would think are crazy. Like in the summer months, down south, Spanaway, South Tacoma, we would get up, get on the horses at 9 a.m. and not be home till dark, whatever that was, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. I had no cell phone. My parents weren't checking in. I wasn't checking in. We were rolling. We were riding. We had places to go, people to see, things to do. Yeah, sometimes we fell off. And then you get back on. Nowadays, if the kids are out of sight, it's child abuse. You're a terrible parent. You let the kids walk down to the corner and swing at the park. You have left your children alone. Yeah, they've been alone for like a week now. Okay, different day, different time, whatever. But the point is we have so much we worry about. We're fearful about. We're concerned about it. And Jesus is maybe advising us. No, he's not advising. Jesus is telling us, move off the worries. They're probably worse than your kid falling off the swing. Okay, no amens, but you know what I'm saying. We choose to pray, to believe, and to be anxious for nothing. Think about this. All the major issues people worry about, there's a promise of God for. So, for instance, first thing, finance. Everybody deals with finance. I got to get a job. I need a career. Will I have enough money? If you're a young person, will I have enough money for my family, enough money for a home? If you're an old person, I don't know when that happened, but do I have enough money to retire? Money. And yet the Bible says God will meet all your need according to his riches and glory. And he will give you power to get wealth. And as Wendy often says, he is the God that's more than enough. So what's my financial future? Always more than enough. So what are you worried about? Right? And I understand people, well, Pastor, get real. The economy, the interest rates. Do you know what's happening in this market and that market? Actually, I don't. But I know God. And I know he's the God who meets all my needs according to his riches and glory, right? So every major concern, insurance, right? Insurance makes you feel safe. You feel protected because you have insurance, which is kind of a misnomer, but okay. But God said he would watch over you. He would protect you. He would guide, guard, and govern your life. Isn't that what you prayed for your children when you dedicated them? So now we're going to trust insurance, but we don't trust God, the God of creation, the God of the universe. Now, you should have insurance. I think that's great and that's good. However, we don't trust it. At the end of the day, if your policy doesn't explain every minor detail that you ever encounter, they're not going to help you. But God is. Who are you going to trust? You know, health insurance, health issues, big in our world. Politicians always talking about health care. We got insurance for your health named after presidents. Which is cool. But God said he bore your sickness and your disease. That when believers lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Right? That God watches over your health, right? So who do we trust? And by the way, no matter how much our medicine improves and how much insurance for your health that you have, there's so much that they don't know. Every day I meet someone who went to the doctor and the doctor doesn't know what's wrong, but God does. So who are we trusting? This is the issue, and this is what brings peace into our lives. Secular thinking actually causes this human pride where we have to answer every question, we have to fix every problem, and we actually celebrate ourselves because it's all on me. I'm worried because I got to deal with this. This is my burden. But Jesus said, I'll carry your burden, and my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So this heavy burden that you've come up with is actually your ego. This is your human pride saying, I got this. I'm going to have. I listened to a podcast recently, and the guy talked about low-key narcissism. So low-key narcissism is like when you are counting how many likes you got on your post. I don't know what any of that is, but I've heard about it. It's when you're counting, you're checking, how many followers did you get this week? Low-key narcissism. It's always about me. Who's listening to me? Who's following me? Who's liking me? Okay, enough talking about me. What do you think about me? Right? We would never say, none of us in this room would ever say we're a narcissist. But maybe low-key? A little low-key narcissism? My husband didn't say this to me. My kids don't do that for me. My people aren't making me feel, really? Let's talk about me. Secular thinking is actually human pride, where we get so caught up in how I feel and how I think and what I'm going to do that we're not trusting God. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How about just let the Lord bring your followers? Just let the Lord bring the likes. You know, if I got one like and it was from God, it's better than all the likes that this world has to offer. Right? Right? Because so you and I could say, because we did something and it was really cool online and we went viral. When I heard someone went viral, I said, okay, what is, I don't know what that is, but should we pray for them? Sounded like a sickness to me, you know. You went viral? I'm sorry. Let's pray. No, but like when we're excited because we went viral, I guess it's cool, right? But what if you got one like and it was the Lord saying, well done. Well done. Right? So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Isn't it interesting? Casting the care, the worry, the anxiety, casting that on God is humility. Carrying it yourself is humanism and pride. Now, Proverbs tells you pride comes before a fall. So if you fall into the anxieties, the worries, the fears, the trauma, all the stuff around that, and someone said to you, bruh, you're going to crash and burn because of your ego. You'd be like, what? I can't believe you said that to me. I'm struggling here. I got so many worries. I got mental health problems. Yeah, because of your ego. You think it's all about you. You think you got to control everything. You think you got to answer every question. And you got to fix every problem. And you can't. Nobody can. So cast your care on the Lord. Let God handle it. Relax. You're going to be fine. Oh, you're so simple-minded. Bruh, you need some simplicity in your life. Right? Again, this human pride, we complicate everything to the point where we think we're going to fix the planet. We're going to fix the world. We're going to fix everything. Let me tell you, human flesh will always have wars, will always have problems, will always have things to struggle with, but faith in God will keep you in perfect peace. Right? And as a Christian, that's where we want to live. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. Cares of this world cause many to ignore and deny and doubt their Father God. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 18. So in Mark 4 is the parable of the sower. Right? You remember that story? And the sower goes out to sow. And he sows seed, and the seed is good, and the seed is always the same, and some seed goes on the wayside where there's really no way it can grow. Some seed goes on stony ground, and it can't grow. And some seed goes on thorns and thistles and weeds, and it can't grow. By the way, how come weeds always grow better than the stuff you want to grow? That's another sermon, right? And then some seed falls on good ground, and it grows, and it produces fruit. So the seed is the word of God, and the soil is our heart. So what Jesus is saying is three out of every four people that hear the word, this is not everybody, this is just those who came to church or those who read their Bible or those who listened to a Christian message, three out of the four do not grow. You decide which one you are. The one that grows, produces fruit, right? Because some people you say, okay, we're going to pray and let's make sure we're all, you know, into our prayer time. And you're like, eh, I ain't got time for that. Boom, word choked, can't grow. Seed came to your heart, eh, I ain't going to do that. Seed dead. Happens every Sunday, right? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those other people. All those other people. Right? You come to church and someone says, hey, the Bible says to give. Let's give our tithe and our offering. I ain't going to get my money. Boom. Seed fell on the wayside. Ain't going to grow. Now, next week when you have financial problems, you're going to be like, how come God don't help me? And ain't no, nothing growing in your life. The word came, the seed came, and hard pan. It's like planting seed on your driveway. Can't grow. Right? So how's your soil? That's the issue. How's your soul? So Jesus then in verse 18, Mark chapter 4 and verse 18, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So Jesus says, okay, so some people are like the thorny wheat, the ground with weeds. And the seed comes and it starts to grow, but it can't survive all the weeds around it, the thorns and the thistles around it, right? And so it chokes the word. And isn't it interesting? He says the thorns or the weeds are your worries and the things that are in the world that you think are more important than God, the deceitfulness of riches. There's quite a few main points I've been sharing today that I got zero amens. I mean, nothing. That's why I love when I visit these Presbyterian churches. Interesting. He says, cares of this world choke the word the same way the deceitfulness of riches. Okay, so all of you would never be deceived by materialism, right? You would never get caught. You would never not come to church because you can get overtime at work on Sunday. You would never compromise your integrity because you can steal a commission from somebody else at your office. You would never do that. Would you? Christian people? Stealing commissions? You would never sell something you don't believe in because there's a good profit. Because your integrity is more important than just moving product. You would never use your tithe to do something you want and then say you can't afford to give tithes and offer. You would never do that because you could never be deceived by riches. I'm right, aren't I? Are we all in agreement here? Because Jesus said, being deceived by materialism is the same as your worry, cares of this world, caught up in the anxiety. You watch the news and then you can't go to sleep that night, right? You're just stirred up and then you become so polarized in whatever news you listen to that you hate everybody who disagrees with you, which is another biblical problem, right? Because we don't hate people. We love people on both sides of the aisle, on whatever position they take, right? But see, you get deceived by materialism just like you get robbed from the cares of this world, the worries and the anxieties, and it chokes the word. So Jesus is saying to us that we have to decide, do not worry. Seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added unto you. Do not worry. Let the word take root in your heart and grow and produce fruit. This is the choice that we make as Christians. This is the decision that we make as Christians. I'm not going to get caught up in the anxieties and the worries and the fears and the messaging of this world because I don't want the word to be choked out of my life. I grew up in a group of Christians. Most of us got saved out of, you know, addictions and alcoholism and all that kind of stuff. And we were all hearing the same things. And do you know, probably all but one of those people that I knew at that time fell away from church and fell away from God. I know of one who stayed faithful, and we get together every few weeks and we talk about the old days when we got saved and we were in rehab together. But it's so common For people, they grew up in church. They used to read the Bible. They used to believe. They used to worship. And now they don't have any connection with God. And yeah, the word got choked. Don't choke the word. Let it grow. Let it produce fruit. Let it bring blessing. Let it do what God wants it to do in your life, right? Right? So there was a king in the Bible named Saul. He was actually the first king of Israel. Saul was chosen because the people wanted a king, not because God wanted a king. Do you know there's an interesting scripture in the Psalms? It said, God gave them the desires of their heart, but sent leanness to their soul. That scripture bugs me. Because what it means is, be careful what you want. You might get it. It was like the teenage boy that fell in love with the girl, and mom and dad were a little concerned because the girl wasn't real godly. And the boy said, but I want her. Yeah, maybe you should go back to the parents pick the girl. Not one amen on that. Where's my friend Philip? Philip, are you here today? Brilliant young man. Let the parents pick the girl. He's gonna love that. Okay, where was I? Yeah, sometimes you get what you want, but you don't really want what you got. So Saul was the first king of Israel, but the people said, we want a king so we can be like the other nations around us. But God says, no, I'm your king. I'm gonna help you be better. Now, give us a king. So God said, okay, here's your king. First king was Saul, big, tall, handsome, great guy, right? Everybody liked Saul. But Saul had an ego problem. And very quickly, he was more concerned with what the people thought than what the Lord thought. He wasn't doing what God told him to do. He was doing what he thought would make everybody happy. And he lost his kingdom. But in that process, he got very depressed. The Bible said he had a bad spirit. Let me read it to you here in Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And so it was when the spirit from God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So when Saul disobeyed God, this distressing spirit, and he knew he'd done something wrong, but he didn't change, so it just got worse and worse. Right? And that's what happens. We know we're making mistakes, but we just keep doing it. And it just gets heavier, and we worry, and we're depressed, and we're anxious, and we start having men, and we start asking a counselor to fix what we know is wrong. We're going the wrong way. We're thinking the wrong things. We're doing the wrong things. And then we kind of make ourselves feel better because I went to a therapist. I went to a lot of therapists on my way to jail, by the way. But when David came along, remember, David grew up worshiping God, writing psalms, singing to the Lord. And David brought a new spirit, and Saul was refreshed. Have you seen the movie, David, the cartoon? It's a kid's movie, but actually it's good for adults too. Have you seen it? How many have seen the movie, David? Okay, everybody should go see it. And now you can say, I went to church and I watch cartoons, which is basically my pastor every week. So here's a 2 minutes from the movie, David. You know, it's interesting in this little story there. All those other singers and dancers and musicians were afraid to go into the king. Because when you're depressed, No one wants to be around you, right? They're nervous what you're going to say, what you're going to do. Like, it's like mom telling the kids, stay away from dad, he had a bad day. So that was the king. He was just angry and upset and not happy. So everybody avoided him. But when David went in and that spirit changed, they all came in. It changed everything. It affected the people around him. When you decide to live at peace, you affect all the people around you. And even people who don't believe what you believe, like maybe at your office, they'll come over to you and they'll say, are you a Christian? Because you're different. You stay relaxed when we're all nervous. You're just happy when everybody else is uptight. You will shine as light in the world when you're at peace and they're in turmoil. And it may be your greatest witness to the people around you. And mom and dad, when you show your children, not just say it, but show it, that we're at peace no matter what happens, because we know God is on our side. We know God is helping us. When you're uptight and worried or stomping around the house angry, slamming doors, saying things you don't say in church. How much of your vocabulary changes when you come to church? There's your sign. There's your sign right there. So when we show peace, everybody around us is affected. And David brought peace to the king and affected his life. Now, the king wouldn't make the change, so he would have it for a moment and then back to the anger, back to the anxiety. And eventually, about 10 years after this event in the Bible, David was the king, right? So his worship and staying with the presence of God, even when he made mistakes, he would go back to God. He would go back to the peace of God. And so the Bible says his kingdom will never end. Saul's kingdom lasted less than one generation. David's kingdom continues today because Jesus came through the lineage of David. So that's the message. Do you have songs like this song? It's a cartoon. It's a kid's movie, but I listen to this song all the time because I need shalom. I want to live in shalom. I want to have that peace. Have you ever listened to music that makes you uptight? Got a bad spirit on that music? Yeah, don't listen to it. Newsflash. Some of you like the hard, whatever it is, hard metal or hard whatever, and it brings a bad spirit on you. Angry, rebellious, and it's just in your mind. And remember, he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him, not when your mind is on the world. So have the music, have the scripture, have the things that keep that peace strong in your life, and avoid the things that don't. If you have people, when they leave, you got to pray in tongues just to kind of calm down. Yeah, maybe just send them a note next time. Don't invite them over. Just say, thinking of you, praying, you're doing good. Amen. Change my cell number. Yeah, I don't let people in my life that are stirring stuff up, anxieties and worries and fears. Too much drama. You're a bad spirit, and I don't want that. So let's be David. In the midst of all the war and all the challenge and all the stuff, David stayed connected to the peace of God. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.